our weekly American Catholic History lesson. We are joined once again by Tom and Noelle Crow, our teachers, continuing to share some compelling stories of Catholic Americans. And with Halloween right around the corner, it's time to break out the flashlights and tell some ghost stories. Good morning. Absolutely. Welcome back to The Morning Blend.
Thank you, Brian. Brian, can you hear me?
Yes.
Are you there, Brian?
The voice is in my head.
Yes. Anyway. Yes. So this is a legitimate story of a haunting that took place in 1790s. What is now West Virginia. At the time it was Virginia, but we actually visited Middleway, Virginia, West Virginia, where these events took place a couple years ago. It's an interesting experience to go there. But yeah, so the story is known as Wizard Clip. It is a haunting story. There was a man named Adam Livingston who moved to this place, now called Middleway, in 1792. Now, prior to moving there, he had already experienced some level of weird things happening at his farm when he moved from Pennsylvania. Things like, apparently there's a report that some things happened, like his barn catching fire and all of his livestock died. Well, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it was a haunting, but it's just something weird that happened to him. But after he moves to what is now Middleway, West Virginia, the thing that really triggers this is a stranger shows up at his door. They have no idea who this is. Guy shows up late in the day. He's not well. He's unhealthy. And they take him in because they're in the middle of nowhere. There are no hospitals or anything like that. Can't call 911. So they take him in and they put him in a bed in a bedroom. And it's clear that he's deteriorating and he's going to die. They really can't do anything for him. But he tells them he's a Catholic and he asks them to bring a priest. Now, they weren't Catholic. They were Lutheran, and they were very much anti-Catholic. So they wouldn't even know how to find a priest if they wanted to find him, especially not in a moment's notice. So the man dies, and they bury him. We'll get to the burial in a moment. That night, they hire somebody, because this is what you did. You hire somebody to sit in the room. This is the wake. Just, you know, you might wake up. They hire someone to sit in the room, and there are candles in the room. And all of a sudden, middle of the night, all the candles went out. The man didn't feel a breeze, just the candles went out. So he lit the candles and they go out again. Like, okay, this is weird. So he calls Livingston and Livingston and his family come in carrying their candles and their candles go out and they cannot relight any of the candles. So the guy they hired freaks out and he runs, he leaves. Like, okay, that's strange. The next day, so they do bury the man in unhallowed ground. The next day, they all of a sudden hear like horses galloping past their house. There are no horses. Over the next days and weeks, they notice things like their chickens and geese just die and like their heads fall off and their legs fall off. Crockery would just fly off the shelves without being touched and smash on the floor. Logs would just come, not just sort of rolling out of the fire, because, you know, they knew how to build fires in the kitchen, but logs would just come bounding out of the fire across the floor. Or there was one instance, because, you know, the word spread of all these strange things happening. So people would come to like see what's going on. And at one point, there were these boys who were there who were skeptical. And a big stone that had been put in the fire to warm up came sliding out and just started spinning on the floor, right in the middle of the floor. Nobody touched it.
But the weirdest thing of all...
The weirdest thing of all was...
The clipping.
The clipping. Clip. The sound of clipping...
would happen constantly, and they would find bed clothes cut into shreds, or they would find curtains with half moon shapes, crescent moon shapes
cut out of it. There was somebody who came to visit. When she came in, she took off her hat and put it in her purse. When she went to leave, she pulled it out, and it had crescent moons clipped into it that weren't there before. All kinds of things, bed linens, curtains, all of this stuff, clothing were just getting clipped and cut to shreds. This constant sound of scissors clipping. So they went to their Lutheran pastor and said, hey, this is what's happening. Lutheran pastor's like, oh, supernatural's not in my line. You got to talk to somebody else. They went to a Methodist pastor. They went to an Episcopal pastor. All of these people are like, we can't do anything about that. Finally, someone said, you need a Catholic priest. And like, oh, we don't know about that. we're not going that far. Let's not be crazy here.
Right, I mean, exactly.
You know, weird clippings all over the place or have a Catholic here? Well, you know. I mean, I kind
of
like
two evils.
But then one night, Adam Livingston had a dream, And he saw this man in what he called robes, and he heard a voice saying, "This is the man who will help you." So he found out there was this Catholic family that lived not too far away. He went to see them, and they said, "Okay, you got to see Father Cahill." So he goes to Shepherdstown, which is like a 12-mile travel distance, and he sees Father Cahill and says, "That was the man in my dream."
Wow.
So he tells Father Cahill, and Father Cahill's skeptical. He doesn't believe him at first, but he goes out to the house and he witnesses some of this actually happening. He sees some of these manifestations, and he does a quick blessing of the house with holy water. He doesn't do a full exorcism. He doesn't have the authority, but he witnesses it. And he does do a house blessing.
And everything gets quiet for a little while.
Yeah. This tamps the manifestations down for a while, mm-hmm. but then they come back. And at this point, Bishop Carroll, the Bishop of Baltimore, has been made aware of all of this happening. So when Father Cahill or whoever writes to Bishop Carroll does so, Bishop Carroll sends Father Prince Gallitzin, Demetrius Gallitzin, who has his own story, which I'm sure we'll tell another time. He was Russian royalty, second priest ordained in the United States. He's 27 years old at this time, very worldly. He goes, and he does have the authority to do an exorcism. So he goes and he starts the rite of exorcism. And he brings the whole family together, and he actually lived with the family for 3 months. And he interviewed them, and he took note of things. He interviewed others. He basically interrogated everybody to get to the root of what was happening. And then he did the exorcism. The manifestations grew more violent as he was doing the rite of exorcism. And he paused to get Father Cahill to come and do the rite with him. So the two of them together did the rite of exorcism with the entire Livingston family praying there in the house. And at the end of the rite, done. Everything stopped. And it never came back.
Oh,
well,
the
bad manifestations never came back.
But there was a second part to this story.
This Livingston guy, I got him. I hope to meet him one day in the afterlife and find out what his story was, who the heck he was. Because a little while later,
they start to hear voices again.
They start to hear voices, but this time,
everybody in the family can hear the voices, not just Livingston.
Well, it started out, he was woken up in the middle of the night one night with this bright light, and he heard this soothing, calming voice say to him, "Get up and pray." So the whole family got up to pray. And everybody could hear the voice. And the children said they could actually see the being who was speaking, but they couldn't describe this being. And this voice would visit them often and speak to the whole family. And even people who visited the house could hear it. And the voice would tell them names of people to pray for.
Mm-hmm. And instructed them. So immediately after the exorcism, the whole family, they were so impressed by the power that these priests had that they became Catholic.
Yes. But they weren't really catechized.
But they didn't have, right, they became Catholic, but there wasn't a whole lot of a period of catechism for this. So this voice comes to them, and the voice is catechizing them and also giving them names of people to pray for in purgatory. It's giving them, giving Adam Livingston instructions to go out and help people, you know, sending him out to people who are in need, sometimes many miles away.
Mm-hmm. And he'd never heard it before.
Yes. And so for years, they have this voice that is coming and instructing them.
17 years it visited Adam Livingston.
Right. And the speculation is that this was actually a soul in purgatory who was coming to them and instructing them.
One additional point of, and they, it might, they, there's some speculation it might have been the man who died.
Right.
Yeah.
But one point that bolsters this person in purgatory theory is that it's said that one of the daughters doubted purgatory and doubted that this was a person in purgatory. So like the next time they heard the voice like in agony saying, "Help me, help me." And they said, "How can we help?" And it said, "Pray for me. I am in purgatory." And it took its hand and put it on some bed linens and burned its the image of its hand into the bed linens. And they were convinced.
Yeah.
So this voice visited Adam Livingston and gave him things to do. This was not Dr. Livingston, don't presume, and gave him things to do for 17 years, and then it stopped. Mm-hmm. And he died a few years later in 1820. The town is still there. The houses where manifestations took place, where different things took place, have these triangles on them with symbols. It's an interesting place to visit because it's a bunch of small houses. They still have a lot of the houses that were there at the time are still there.
So Adam Livingston eventually gave a portion of the land where his home was.
35 acres.
He gave it to the church, and it served various purposes for the church for a number of years, eventually becoming a chapel, and now actually it's a retreat center. So it's a retreat center there in West Virginia. It's called Priest Field, and lots of priests go to retreats there. In fact, when I worked in the Arlington Diocese, the priests of the Arlington Diocese would have meetings and retreats at Priest Field. So that's sort of...
And none of them have any idea of the history. They're just like, oh my gosh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah. Priest Field sounds much better than Wizard Clips. If people want to learn more, or maybe you have some more of these ghost stories on your website, where is that, Noelle?
It's at AmericanCatholicHistory.org.